Born and raised in Philadelphia, the city that revolutionized the pro wrestling industry, Jeff Desiato has rekindled his passion for the sport he loved as a child. Join him on his journey to discover what makes pro wrestling such a uniquely enjoyable form of entertainment. This is the Why We Enjoy Wrestling podcast.
Everybody, welcome back to the Why We Enjoy Wrestling podcast. I know it's been a while. I don't have any excuses for you. My family's home during the summer because my wife is a school teacher and my kids are home from school. We also have been very busy traveling and doing things on my time off between work. And I've also been working on my music, which I have a long dormant music career that I'm hoping to revive. And I've been working on that, so that's what's been taking so long. So I actually have two SmackDowns and two Raws to recap and Money in the Bank to preview. So let's dive in. We're going to start with SmackDown. This was the June 20th SmackDown. And I'll just kind of run through it briefly. CM Punk returned and we thought we were going to get information on him being cleared. He was not. As far as we know, we had a great segment with Cody Rhodes coming out to defend CM Punk against the Bloodline, Paul Heyman coming out. There's a lot of good story there. But really, what this night was all about was the two huge moments that we'll get to. We had a Money in the Bank qualifying match. Chelsea Green defeated Bianca Belair and Mia Yim. It says in this, but it's Mi Chin, as she's been said. Chelsea Green being in the Money in the Bank ladder match is great because I see her and Tiffany Stratton as the two favorites to win. Love a whiny heel as the Money in the Bank holder. It's one of the things that I didn't like about Damian Priest having the briefcase was it was, you know, he wasn't that like conniving type of person that you normally see. It's always hard too when it's a babyface, and he wasn't a babyface, but I think the Money in the Bank works best when it's somebody who's, you know, sneaky and conniving. So that leads us into the segue of the next match that took place. Carmelo Hayes, Randy Orton, and Tama Tonga. Obviously, Randy Orton and Tama Tonga's involvement was really just to further the Bloodline story and Randy Orton's partnering with Cody Rhodes, which hopefully will inevitably will set us up for a match for Survivor Series, Randy Orton, Cody Rhodes. I don't know if that's the plan, but that's the big event. I feel like it's got to be one of the big four that match takes place, and it looks like you're setting up for Solo Sikoa, Cody Rhodes for SummerSlam. So I would like that build post-SummerSlam, because I think Roman Reigns might come back at SummerSlam, and then you can have some Bloodline stuff leading into Survivor Series. What I would like is for Cody Rhodes to be away from that entirely, and then have a match with Randy Orton, either there or have it at Royal Rumble. That's another option. But it definitely has to be a big four pay-per-view type match. So Carmelo Hayes ended up getting the win and entering a Money in the Bank ladder match, which he's the perfect person to be in that match. And I think he's a dark horse to win the briefcase just because of the way they're building his character. He would be a great person. It's kind of like when Austin Theory had the briefcase. As much as we hated that, and as much as we hated how they ended up treating it, and ultimately, when you have somebody of that type of character, now I think Carmelo Hayes has way more charisma than Austin Theory does as a heel. I think that he would be a good choice. He's not my pick, but it would be a good choice if they wanted to kind of surprise people. We had another triple threat match, qualifying match, Grayson Waller, Kevin Owens, and Andrade. There was interference from, I forget exactly how it all came about, but anyway, Andrade ended up winning. I'm not going to spend a lot of time since we're 2 weeks removed from this as we see, and I'm just kind of going through the episodes so I can, if it sparks a thought about what we're looking for Money in the Bank, I'm going to bring that up. And then we had Cody Rhodes versus Solo Sikoa, which we knew this match wasn't going to end up anywhere. The Bloodline interfered. Cody Rhodes won by disqualification. And then we got Randy Orton and Kevin Owens coming to ringside to help Cody Rhodes. So we had 3-on-3, which opened the door for the Samoan werewolf, Jacob Fatu, to arrive and just decimate Cody Rhodes. And rumors, I don't know if it's just kayfabe or whatever, but rumors were that he actually, Cody Rhodes actually did break two ribs, and he's been fighting through that on the house show loop. Well, I don't know if that's true or they're just using that to tell the story, but it was one thing I forgot to include in here. I skipped completely over it because in this website that I'm using to review, it didn't really talk about this, but we set up a match for, was it not this one? I can't remember now. Yeah, so this was, I'm sorry, I'm confused. What ended up happening was there was a backstage segment with DIY, and we heard this crashing sound against one of the garage doors, and they revealed CM Punk. And man, it was great. Drew McIntyre decimating CM Punk. Hopefully, he is going to get cleared for SummerSlam. But man, the way he beat him down, it'd be interesting to see what happens. Now, I've seen a lot of interesting rumors flying because of Drew McIntyre just being a total troll with that bracelet, posting pictures with his cat and his wife with that bracelet on and stuff like that. And CM Punk in his hometown getting decimated and, you know, put in a, you know, what do they call that? A stretcher. They get the stretcher job and everything, the neck brace, all that treatment, making Drew McIntyre just despised in Chicago. I hope it's just to keep the angle hot until SummerSlam because you have a whole other month. I'm hoping that that isn't to buy time until Survivor Series. Although, if you have Randy Orton and Cody Rhodes, or versus Cody Rhodes, CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre, and a Bloodline Civil War at Survivor Series, that is a hot show. I don't know. We'll see where they go with that, but man, oh man, that this rivalry between Drew McIntyre and CM Punk is just so hot, and they haven't even touched, really. I mean, in the ring, they haven't even. That stare down in the match is going to be crazy. People are just going to be losing their minds. So anyway, we'll move on. There's so much that happened, man. I feel bad when I miss weeks like this because we had announcements left and right. We had the WrestleMania XL Behind the Curtain documentary come out. We had Roman Reigns' dad passing away, sadly. There's just so many things that have been happening, and it's hard to keep up with all of it. So let's try to move on to the Raw from, this is, I believe it's June 23rd, Raw, if I get my dates correct. Drew McIntyre kicked off the show, and he bragged about having bracelet from CM Punk. It's hard to do this episode because I know everything that's happening, so I'm just going to kind of speed through this. All that to say, I wouldn't be surprised if somehow we get AJ Lee back. I'm going to say that now. Just because of the tying in of the bracelet and the wife and all that stuff, I feel like that would be really interesting. Chad Gable came back. This was after we saw him get bludgeoned and be completely unconscious. He arrived at the arena and refused attention from the WWE cameras and stuff. So there was interesting developments there. We had Bron Breakker versus Ludwig Kaiser, which ended in disqualification, with Kaiser winning because of Sheamus' interference. And ultimately, what ended up happening is I think Ludwig Kaiser got injured for real. He broke some ribs from Bron Breakker. So that's unfortunate. He's getting a good singles push right now, and he's a great chicken poop heel, as they say in the industry. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. Bron Breakker continues to impress. We had some more developments with the Judgment Day and Liv and Damian Priest and Finn Balor. There's a lot going on there. Not time to get into it right now. We had a Money in the Bank qualifier match. Lyra Valkyria, Kairi Sane, and Shayna Baszler. Not surprisingly, Valkyria won. She is getting a big push here. Maybe as the next Becky Lynch in a way. But she's in the Money in the Bank ladder match. I don't see her as a favorite to win, but she is getting a push nonetheless, similar to Carmelo Hayes on SmackDown. We saw Breakker and Sami Zayn interrupting Breakker talking to Adam Pearce and getting the match in place for Sami Zayn versus Bron Breakker July 6th at Money in the Bank. And they made it official, which should be a great match. I kind of feel like you got to have Breakker go over. But I don't think he will. I think they're going to try to keep these long title reigns going, because I do think that Gunther eventually is going to win the title from Damian Priest or whoever has the title when they get to SummerSlam. So I feel like they're going to be careful not to change both titles on Raw so quickly, especially since they just changed the tag titles. Although I don't mind title changes when it helps the story and when I feel like people have been positioned storyline-wise to win. The problem is when you have a title change just to get eyeballs, you don't need eyeballs right now. Everybody's watching the product. So when the story makes sense, you can have a title change. And I hope that they got to strap the rocket to Braun. I don't think that the audience will get annoyed. I think they've known for years that he was somebody that the WWE brass had pegged. And I think they understand. They see what the guy's skills are in the ring. And even when he was in NXT with Baron Corbin, how entertaining he was in that with the Wolf Dogs. So I think that I personally would like to see Bron Breakker win the Intercontinental title because I don't think it hurts Sami Zayn at all. Bron Breakker's been pushed as a crusher, as a destroyer, and I don't think that it makes sense to have Sami Zayn keep the Intercontinental title. I just don't. I don't think it does anything for his character. I think he needs to enter the World Championship conversation eventually. And I feel like the IC title, something he's already possessed multiple times before, is just like a placeholder or pacifier. And it feels like that, very much so, personally, in my opinion. Anyway, Liv Morgan had a promo. She refers to Daddy Dom. Zelina Vega came out. And we had Dominic Mysterio come out, Rey Mysterio come out. They're doing a lot. There's a lot of moving parts here. I think it's great. I think all the storylines are going. I think what I would love to see is a Dominic and Rey match that has some stakes to it. We've already had two, and Rey's won both. Hopefully that means he's positioning to put Dom over and ride off into the sunset. But we'll see, man. There's a lot of different ways this could go because you have Liv, obviously, as a heel. I could see Finn Balor swooping in and partnering with Liv, with Dominic being left out in the cold and maybe somehow becoming a babyface. I don't know. Bruce Pritchard always says the hotter the heel, the hotter the babyface. So it'd be interesting to see if Dom could ever be a babyface again, or if he will just always be that completely hated chicken poop heel. Moving on. Great production video about Seth Rollins returning. They do such a good job with that kind of stuff. Qualifier match, Braun Strowman versus the resurrected Chad Gable and Bronson Reed. Pretty impressive that Gable won. I mean, obviously there were shenanigans involved, the Judgment Day and everything. But then after the match, the Wyatt Six, or Nikki Cross, showed up, and she gave a VHS labeled Play Me, which was probably one of the biggest moments of the night, was this VHS tape and what we ended up seeing on it, which was this, which we'll get to later. But yeah, another nothing match. I feel so bad. I'm so hard on Kate Katana Chance and Kayden Carter, but they just do nothing for me. And Isla Dawn and Alba Fire are the tag team champions, and they haven't done anything. Like, there's no story for them whatsoever. The fact that they put the title on these two makes no sense. It was a cheap pop in Scotland to have a title change go to Scottish people, because you weren't going to give the title to Piper Niven and you weren't going to give the title to Drew McIntyre. So obviously, not only does it make it cheap because we had nothing to go on with these two characters, but it makes the tag titles look so insignificant that you're like, yeah, we'll just switch those. Nobody cares about those anyway. Just not really a great... Every time you think they're building that title back up, they... short-circuited. I don't quite understand why that is. Seth Rollins came out and interrupted Damian Priest. He got Damian Priest to say a couple things that probably riled Judgment Day. And Gunther eventually came out, which was really... I love this, man. I love where we're headed. I want Gunther to be the dominant world champion. He's ready. And it'll be interesting to see. The Wyatt Six, we saw the video, which showed Uncle Howdy interviewing Bo Dallas, which was really well done. And Bo Dallas did a great job. I guess we're going by Bo Dallas. I don't know if we're doing Taylor Rotunda or what. But it was really well done. And we're starting to see that this is not actually supernatural. This is just, this is inside Bo Dallas's head. And I think the rumors are true we're not going to be doing as much Supernatural. It's going to be more creepy. So that's, they definitely succeeded with that. Kofi Kingston and Karrion Kross had a match. Karrion Kross defeated Kofi Kingston. I appreciate these little side stories, but the version overall that I watch is abbreviated, and I didn't really get much from this. I appreciate the story. They're teasing the New Day breakup. I'd be surprised if the New Day ever breaks up. They are on record saying they never want to turn on each other. They want to be the one tag team that just never turns on each other. But we'll see. I mean, they need something. If they're going to keep being in the WWE, they need something, because they just exist now to put people over, which isn't a great place when you're putting your body on the line. I would think you would want to move up the chain eventually. And Xavier Woods is a great performer, and I think he deserves to move up the chain and get a singles run. But who knows what's going to happen. If they're using this story, maybe they'll have it that they part amicably, the way they did with Big E going off on his own because he got drafted to another brand and stuff, and then they're still friends and everything. But maybe Kofi says, you need to go on your own. Maybe that's what they're going to do. Actually, I find that to be interesting, is that Karrion Kross is planting the seeds in Xavier Woods, saying, Kofi's holding you back, Kofi's holding you back, Kofi's holding your back. What if Kofi gets out in front of it and says, you need to go off on your own. I'm giving you permission. I am not going to be hurt by it. You need to go off on your own and chase a title. You need to make your legacy. He's been the King of the Ring. That's one accolade. He's been, whatever, 11-time tag champion. I forget how it all works. And who knows, when there's a trio, who knows how it gets spread out, like who actually got the champion. How many of those victories were actually when Xavier Woods was in the match, or Big E was in the match, or Kofi Kingston? I don't know. But we had a World Tag Team Championship match, which was Awesome Truth versus The Judgment Day, and this came about because of Liv Morgan getting them in the match as a thank you, and then Balor and McDonagh win the tag titles, which is interesting. I mean, obviously Awesome Truth weren't going to hold the titles for a long time. It's interesting that we go back to The Judgment Day again, when there's a lot of different tag teams that have been on the shelf. But, you know, hopefully the story, let them cook. Hopefully the story makes sense when it's all said and done. But overall, this was a good Monday Night Raw. They keep it cooking, and everything is so hot right now, it's ridiculous. So moving on, we have SmackDown again. This was from June 28th. They kicked off the show, and then the three good guys came in and took over, really. Kind of have a different perspective from the babyfaces, where they come in and kind of take control, and Nick Aldis is like pushing them back, which is something he's usually done with the Bloodline, and he gets them escorted out. So that's an interesting plot point. Jade Cargill, Candice LeRae, Tiffany Stratton, qualifying match. We had interference from Indy Hartwell, supposedly on behalf of Candice LeRae, which ended up leading to Stratton defeating LeRae and Cargill to get into the Money in the Bank. She's my favorite to win. I think she will win. I think she will turn the briefcase pink with sparkles or glitter on it. And I think that the partnership between Nia Jax and Tiffany Stratton will be interesting, because I do think that Nia Jax could win the title at SummerSlam. So then you have this tension there. So that'll be cool to see how they bring that all out. There weren't many matches. We had a triple threat match, which was a surprising outcome. A lot of people figured, because Logan Paul, LA Knight, and Santos Escobar were going to be in this match together, that they were going to follow the pattern that they had at this point, which was like the third person that wasn't involved directly in a storyline is going to be in the Money in the Bank match. But LA Knight surprisingly got the victory. I thought it would be Santos Escobar, and then it would be Logan Paul and LA Knight continuing their rivalry. I'm sure what's going to happen is that Logan Paul is going to interfere in the Money in the Bank ladder match and keep LA Knight from winning, which will then set up their match for SummerSlam. Something to that effect. That would be interesting. I would hate for LA Knight to win the briefcase to challenge for the United States Championship when he's already had a main event, undisputed WWE Championship match against Roman Reigns. I think it would be beneath him to waste his briefcase on that title. So hopefully what happens is Logan Paul interferes, LA Knight, Logan Paul, SummerSlam. A true match, no briefcase involved, which then opens up the briefcase for somebody else who can really use it as a launch pad. But it's great. Anything with LA Knight, I'm all for it. So they did a little memorial for Sika Anawahi. He passed away at the age of 79, which our thoughts and prayers go out to that family. And it's a large family, obviously. And this man was a patriarch in that family. Excuse me. Blair Davenport, Indy Hartwell versus Naomi. Yeah, there wasn't much going on in this match. This non-surprising outcome, Naomi winning, Hartwell and Davenport have nothing going for them. So why would you put them in the Money in the Bank match? Naomi is somebody that they would at least keep involved in storylines, so they gave it to her. And we had, this was, I believe, in paybacks for Indy Hartwell getting involved. Jade Cargill got involved, kept her from winning, which allowed Naomi, which has the connection from them being the big three, WrestleMania. So that kind of furthers that storyline. Then we had the Bloodline acknowledgement ceremony, which this is where it just went crazy. Absolutely insane. the fact that you had Jacob Fatu getting entered into the Bloodline. And then Solo Sikoa saying, acknowledge me. All of the guys acknowledging him. And then them getting the, I forget how you pronounce that stuff. What did this say? I'm trying to find what they call those things. The lay. I'll just say the lay that he has. That Romans is that the tribal chief, the head of the table. That lay that he puts around. It's got a specific name, and that's escaping me right now. somehow, he got it. Paul Heyman is devastated. He looks ridiculous. Solo says, acknowledge me. And he gets... Paul Heyman gets a babyface pop when he says, I acknowledge that you are not my tribal chief. Gets the Samoan spike, and then they put him through a table. This man's like 60 years old and incredibly overweight. I'm not being hard on him. I mean, that's just what he's known for. And he takes a triple powerbomb through an announce table that looked brutal. Brutal. And they're setting this up really nicely. I think this was probably the first time. I mean, Jacob Fatu coming in, and now this. It's like, oh, this Bloodline. Okay, now I'm on board with this story. I know what they're setting up. It's not that they're... The point of this story is not that they will be a new Bloodline. It's that they are imposters. That's the entire purpose. Everybody's like, oh, this is stupid. They're like the cheap imitation. I'm like, that is the story. That's the entire point. And up until now, it's felt like that. But now, devastating. And what an incredible pop it's going to be when Roman Reigns comes back, fully babyface, with Paul Heyman. As a babyface, is that really where they're going to go? That's crazy. No one would have predicted that. But then, where do we go? This is another reason why I think it would be interesting to see what they do with the Intercontinental title, because what I would love is if we end up doing Bloodline Civil War, I would love to see Roman Reigns making amends with Jimmy and Jay and Sami Zayn. That would be incredible storytelling. And Sami Zayn, I feel like, needs to be out of the Intercontinental title picture for that to happen. So maybe he does lose it by then. Maybe he loses it at SummerSlam. Maybe he loses it on Saturday at Money in the Bank. It would be interesting. If he loses it in Canada as a Canadian, that would give Bron Breakker insane heat for sure. but this was an incredible SmackDown. It was just off the charts. Now we're up to Raw. Sorry, guys. I'm just like trying to plow through this here. More intrigue and more incredible television. Jey Uso kicked off the night. Chad Gable interrupted him. And then the Wyatt Six shows up again with another VHS. And they did this really well, where Chad Gable is kind of wandering through the arena and he's seeing all the different figures in the silhouetted fog. And then we had another VHS because they love VHS. They're nostalgic, this Wyatt Six, apparently. It was interesting to see Chad Gable and Jey Uso. Like, these are guys that have been in the WWE for a long time, and now to have them in this storyline that kicked off Monday Night Raw, good for them. I give them a lot of kudos for just making the most for every opportunity they've gotten, and now look at them starting off Raw. That's pretty cool. And involved in huge storylines. Absolutely huge. Then we had Xavier Woods versus Karrion Kross. Woods beats Kross. And then the Final Testament beats down Woods and Kingston, leaving them. So are we setting up a Final Testament versus New Day? I don't know. Are we setting up an eventual split of the New Day? I don't know. Is there somehow a secret Big E return on the horizon? Doubtful. But yeah, I just don't know where they're going with this. I would like to see the Final Testament just look different, be different. They can't be this creepy... I honestly feel like Karrion Kross should lean into the fact that everyone says that he's like trying too hard to be a tough guy and just start being funny. I think he would actually be, from everything I've heard about the guy, he's like very well liked and stuff. I think he could actually be really funny, like playing it overly serious and then being made to look stupid as this overly serious guy. Like actually being a little meta with it, that might help make it unique, make it something that it hasn't been up to this point. We had a Women's World Championship match on Monday Night Raw, Liv Morgan versus Zelina Vega. Again, we had interference. Again, we had Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio were setting up, and that set up, they had their match later on in the night. But we ended up having Morgan defeating Vega, obviously. Not surprisingly, actually. Judgment Day issues. They interrupt Seth Rollins, and we are setting up Money in the Bank, obviously. We had some interesting stuff with Finn Balor and Damian Priest, which I'm excited about. I'm excited to see where they go. I would like to see... I think what needs to happen is Priest should lose the title at SummerSlam to Gunther, and then I think his first opponent should be Finn Balor. And they should have a huge, long story of the Judgment Day breaking up. Rhea Ripley's back. Damian Priest sides with Rhea Ripley. They're now baby faces. We have either a new Judgment Day with Liv in charge or Finn, or just like, because I feel like Dominic is moving out of the Judgment Day kind of anyway, and it'd be interesting to see where they go with that. Anyway, moving on. This episode is going to be long. Money in the Bank qualifier. Zoe Stark, Dakota Kai, Ivy Nile. Ivy Nile, obviously, we're waiting for Creed Brothers and the Diamond Mine to turn with Chad Gable. But now they have this whole other story where they seem to be turning Chad Gable back babyface, or at least leading you to believe that he's had second thoughts, that he's penitent. Is that the word? Repentant. Zoe Stark wins. I think she's really talented. I just don't think she has the charisma. She's got a good look. I'd really like to see where they go if they give Shayna and Zoe Sonya Deville as a talking head, or as a mouthpiece. That's the word I was looking for. I think that could actually work because they all have MMA backgrounds, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe Zoe Stark doesn't, but I know Shayna does. I know Sonya Deville does. I think that'd be really interesting to see like a female faction that isn't Damage Control, because that's really the only female faction we've had. Right? Unless I'm mistaken. I'd like to see more. Like, if you're going to do, like, factions aplenty in the male side, do it with the female side, too. Because what ends up happening is it gets people TV time, and it helps you develop stories naturally. Because you have a singles competitor, you have a tag competitor, you have a mouthpiece, you have, you know, you can work it all together. It's redundant. It's not, I mean, it's formulaic, but it works. And there's a reason why it works. So we'll see what happens with that. And again, like, Fire and Dawn, what's going on with them? Who knows? Another video with Uncle Howdy and Bo Dallas where it was revealed that it was basically they're one and the same, which was, I mean, we kind of knew that, but it was interesting to see how they did it, how they played it out. And we're starting to get more about the motivations behind what they're doing. Dallas mentioned something about false prophets belittling their families, which sets up why Chad Gable was a victim, but also could be other opportunities for other people down the road. Now, if we're going to have this heel bloodline with before Roman Reigns comes back, I wouldn't be opposed to the Wyatt Six getting involved with the heel bloodline, the Bloodline 2.0, because it would make sense. And I feel like, but like, I don't want to see Roman Reigns involved in it. So it would make sense with maybe as a faction warfare kind of thing, with this fake bloodline, and maybe that is something that they deal with until Roman Reigns is ready to come back, if he's not coming back at SummerSlam. We'll see. That's all kind of on the back burner for now. I don't want to fantasy book Roman Reigns until he actually comes back. Rey Mysterio versus Dominic Mysterio. Again, Rey Mysterio goes over, hopefully leading to eventually putting Dom over and retiring as one of the best to ever do it. We'll see. I mean, the fact that Rey Mysterio can still do what he does at his age is insane. And Dominic, how far he's come in the last 2-3 years as a performer is just incredible to watch. Braun Breaker comes out and interrupts Sami Zayn's promo. there's not much there. I mean, they're just setting up the match, obviously. It was the go-home Raw, so it's the last time they're going to get a chance to build up their match at Money in the Bank. And then another great match. Oh, man, Sheamus, Ilya Dragunov, Drew McIntyre, a great triple threat match. What is it about Sheamus and Drew McIntyre being an incredible, incredible triple threat matches? And this was on Monday Night Raw. Ilya Dragunov, obviously, has a history with Gunther, so not surprising that he would contribute so well to this triple threat match. McIntyre wins, gets into the Money in the Bank. I think it would be so sweet if, you know, CM Punk's laid up, right? If AJ Lee interferes in Drew McIntyre's ability to claim the Money in the Bank briefcase, that would be crazy. That would make people go absolutely insane. If it's like, you made this personal, right? You have destroyed my husband's career, and now we're going to take everything from you. That would be really cool. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know if there's any actual truth to AJ Lee ever coming back. She seems content. But, man, talk about a pop. Talk about a moment. And WWE is all about making moments. So it'll be interesting to see where they go with that. Anyway, whew, we're basically caught up at this point. There's still so much that I could have talked about and could have done, but there's just not enough time. And I would love to do my predictions for Money in the Bank. Now, granted, this is not watching the Go Home SmackDown. I always have to make that disclaimer. The men's match, okay? The favorite, obviously, Jey Uso is on the cover of the thing. Does he win? Well, it wouldn't be WWE if they didn't take who the favorite was and make them lose the Money in the Bank ladder match. It'd be interesting to see if it's Chad Gable. I think that would be interesting. Because then, you know, you have him kind of this in-between with Otis and stuff, but if he wins the briefcase, and then he's like, see, I'm going to cash in something you couldn't do. And then we turn on him, and then he gets the diamond mine around him, etc. We'll see. I don't know who I want to pick, actually. I'm going to go with the consensus and say it's going to be Jey Uso. Jey Uso wins the Money in the Bank briefcase. Predictable, yes, but I think based on everybody that's in there, it makes sense storyline-wise. Chelsea Green would be really fun, but Tiffany Stratton is going to be the winner of the female briefcase, I think. female briefcase, I gave it a sex. The women's briefcase. Braun Breaker, Sami Zayn. I think Sami Zayn's going to retain. I don't think he should, but I think he will. So I'm going to say Sami Zayn wins. Maybe through like a cheap way out. Maybe a surprise roll-up, which is their favorite thing to kind of do. Maybe Braun gets overzealous and like tries to spear Sami Zayn, and he like spears the steps and he's like knocked out, and Sami Zayn gets a win like that. We've got to protect Braun Breaker either way. And then we have the triple threat match. Not the triple threat match, I'm sorry. The trios match. The six-man tag. Cody Rhodes, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens versus I think it's going to be Solo and the Guerrillas of Destiny. I think the bad guys win. And I think we start to see seeds with Randy Orton and Cody Rhodes. Maybe. Maybe not. But I think the bad guys win, and then we get the set up the match for Solo and Cody at SummerSlam, which is, rumors say, that's what it's going to be. So the main event is supposedly Seth Rollins versus Damian Priest, and I think that Priest retains. I think fairly convincingly, I would say, I wouldn't be surprised if he just wins and Judgment Day has no input in it whatsoever, which then further establishes that he's not a transitional champion, which is part of the story that we're telling. But also, when Gunther hopefully wins, that's what we're doing there. Wouldn't be surprised if maybe Gunther loses at SummerSlam and then gets a rematch at Bash in Berlin so that he wins in front of his audience. I don't know about that. Maybe not. I believe that is all the matches that have been advertised. And with that, I'm going to say I'm done. Thanks for listening. I appreciate you guys. If this has gotten monotonous, I do apologize. I will try not to miss 2 weeks again, but It is what it is. Hopefully, I'll at least always give you my predictions for the premium live events and then my reviews of said premium live events and the build. I can always recap the build up to them, even if I'm not able to do the weekly Raw and SmackDown reviews. So until next time, get out there and enjoy the wrestling.